You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today's guest is very, very special. She's one of the stars of the All Elite podcast, the premier podcast about All Elite Wrestling. She's also got her own show, Under the Ropes, and she's the EVP of Giggles. She's the queen of the indies, and she's one of the most fun and brightest people in this community that we have. Today I'm speaking with Tiffany. Tiffany, how are you today?
Yay! I'm good. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that intro.
I know everybody says that the one thing about the show is how much kind of smoke I blow up people with the praise. But the fact is, I enjoy a lot of our wrestling podcasts, and yours is one of the go-to ones for AEW. And you are so kind of upbeat and bright, and you really are one of the kind of shining lights in our community.
Oh, thank you. It's the bubbly personality.
Absolutely. So, Tiffany, let's go right back to the beginning. What is your first experience or your first memory of professional wrestling?
Okay. Like, I can't remember, like, the first exact match that got me into it, but...
No, just the first thing that kind of got me into it.
I'm trying to think of, like, how... Like, I mean, really, the simplest answer for me to go into is that my dad... when I was little, was always watching wrestling. He was watching Raw, and then he would have the pay-per-views that was like 4 or 5 times a year. So I just started to spend, that was my quality time with my dad. I finally sat down with him one day and I started watching WWF at the time. And it was only WWF, because I know a lot of people like they'll ask like, oh, WCW. No, I wasn't watching that. I was watching strictly WWF. I remember things like Lex Luger, Shawn Michaels, and Bret Hart were always my faves. If anybody asks me like one of my favorite things from like back then, I always go back to WrestleMania 10. For me, I know like there's probably been so much more and better matches. There was a long period of time that I stopped watching. But like one of my best memories of it is WrestleMania 10. And I always go back to Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon in the ladder match for an Intercontinental title. Now, a lot of my friends joke around, they're like, you only like that match because you saw Shawn's butt. And I'm like, excuse me, no, it was a really solid match. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, and then what was even more special about it, it was in New York and it was at Madison Square Garden. So that was another like cool little factor as well. But I don't know, I always go back to that, but it was always a bonding experience. It was like the one thing that like I had with my dad, because my dad was like not home a lot. So when he was home, that was my bonding experience with my dad. So... here I am now.
That's an awesome story. It was kind of the same for me, except it was my gran, who was the massive wrestling fan, and that's what got me into wrestling. So around that time, who were the wrestlers who you kind of gravitated to, who were like your favorites around then?
Okay, so definitely, like I said, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Razor Ramon, Lex Luger... Oh my God. I would always laugh with like the Bushwhackers back then. I don't know why I always think about them. Like Diesel, you know, 1-2-3 Kid. Yes. How can I like forget about like not the one, you know, it's the funniest thing because if he ever does like meet and greets, if I ever meet him, because this has always been a thing, like a bucket list for me, like he's definitely one of the ones that I need to meet if he comes back to New York, I will always reference him as 123 Kid, because that's where he started. And I had a little crush on him and everything. And I know like everybody refers to him as X-Pac and everything, but no, to me, with the day I meet him, I'm going to tell him like, no, you're not that. And when you sign my autograph, it has to say 123 Kid. I don't care what he says. He has to sign it as 123 Kid for me, because those are one of my amazing, childhood memories of him, like being with Razor Ramon, and then that whole feud when they turned, and like, yes.
Wow.
I wonder if how often he gets that as a request.
I know, right? Like,
because everyone knows him as X-Pac. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody knows him as that, right? But because of the fact that, like, you know, me watching as a kid, and like, this is like my childhood memory of him. So it's just, I get those flashbacks to that when he first started. So I'm telling you, mark it down right now, guys, it's going to happen one day. I will go meet, even though I don't watch WWF anymore. I mean, WWE anymore. So I mean, this is like one of my bucket lists for me of a meet and greet is definitely him. And it has to be 123 Kid.
Wow.
That's so funny.
So you mentioned that you kind of stepped away from wrestling for a while. What was it that made that happen? What was it that you kind of got disillusioned with wrestling?
Okay. So it was kind of like two things, really. It was two things, really. Adult life kind of happened. College, a lot of working, being an adult. Like, it was like, all right, I just don't have any time for wrestling anymore. So that was one of the things that kind of stepped me away from it. But it was funny because a lot of my favorite wrestlers back then were leaving. Like, some of them went to like WCW, some of them were retiring. Like, and I just couldn't get on the bandwagon of all the new guys that were coming into WWF at the time. So it kind of, I was just not liking change back then, And I think that's what kind of really, like, I'm just like, who is this guy? I'm not liking this guy. And, I just couldn't grasp on anymore. I was like, all right, all my favorites are not here. I'm just not liking it. And I know, like, I've missed a lot of years of wrestling. But again, like I said, adult life came in as well. And I just did not have the time, to enjoy wrestling the way that I do now. So... Well, at least I'm back, right? Like, I'm back into it, so. Yeah.
And what brought you back? What was it that was the catalyst for you coming back? Okay.
So I remember, I used to bowl. I haven't bowled in a while, but I was
that bowling. Tempered bowling.
I was a bowler, very good bowler too. Very, very good bowler. My high is 279. So when I used to bowl.
Weird flex.
What?
Weird flex.
I used to be on a bunch of leagues, and like, I would hang out with a lot of people, and like, they would talk about wrestling, and they would talk about WWE, and I'm like, how is wrestling now? They're like, wrestling's good. And I'm like, I stopped watching wrestling back then, like, 2000 or maybe a little before 2000. And I was like, I just stopped watching. I was like, life kind of happened. I just wasn't into it. And, I just moved on, and I kind of just never went back. So they just kept talking about it. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to watch. I was like, I'm going to check this out. I was like, and I was talking to one of my friends who always had a passion for wrestling. And he was like, oh, you got to watch like WWE now. It's good. He goes, I know who you're going to like. He was like, I know it right now. He's like, Seth Rollins. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I know you. He's like, I know your taste. He's like, I know you. He's like, you're going to love Seth Rollins. So I turned on Raw, and he was the champion at the time. And I was like, oh, I'm digging this guy. I was like, he's hot. I was like, oh, okay, curb stomp. Let's go. I was like, I'm loving this. So I started watching WWE again for a while. And that's what really brought me kind of back, like, hardcore, was my friends that they were all talking about. I was like, I want in on this conversation, so I'm going to start getting back into wrestling.
Your friends at Seth Rollins. Maybe it's because he looks kind of like a grown-up expat.
No. You know what? Maybe this is why I like Anthony Gangone as well, because everybody tells Anthony that he looks like Seth Rollins as well. I don't know. It's just I just really liked it because, like I said, for what is like 20 years? No, less than that. Yeah, about almost 20 years. Let's say 15, because I started watching wrestling maybe like 6 years ago or whatever. So maybe like about 15 years I wasn't watching wrestling for a while. So to come back to see the change in wrestling and how much different it's got from back then in the days to where it's now. I mean, I can go on and on and on about wrestling, the change of wrestling of now. Like, it's just insanity what we see.
I've said for a long, long time that the wrestlers nowadays are infinitely more talented than the wrestlers that we had back then. And they've got like the kind of freedom, and we've had all this like innovation in wrestling. And yeah, they're almost like two totally different kind of forms of entertainment almost.
Yeah, definitely. I say it all the time. If there's something you don't like, right? Because me being a podcaster as well, me personally, I don't want to sit there and bash something I don't like, right? If there's something you do not like, there's something always better, right? And like you said, it's changed so much than what it was 20 years ago to what it is now. You have intergender matches. You have death matches. You have kid-friendly. You have technical wrestling, right? You want fast-paced. There's pretty much anything for anybody out there. And it's not just WWE. Because again, like I said, I don't watch currently anymore WWE. There's so much other stuff that I watch that's out there. I just grew tired of WWE. And I opened my eyes to completely different wrestling. And it's got me hyped as hell. I'm so proud to be a wrestling fan right now. Because there really is so much great content. And then the fact that the way that it is nowadays, too, that it's not like when we watched back then, it was Raw. Well, when I was a kid, it was only Raw. There was no SmackDown. It was only Raw. So you would watch Monday night and you would watch the pay-per-views. There were your four major ones, and then you would have King of the Ring, right? So you would have to wait a couple of months before you can do another pay-per-view. Back then, I'm going all the way back, because then eventually they started doing the monthly pay-per-views of like In Your House. But the way that it is now, between your weekly and apps and YouTube and Fight TV and the IWTV channel, even the WWE Network, I can't believe where we've come nowadays in wrestling.
Yeah. So we're spoiled as wrestling fans. And sometimes it's kind of to the detriment of us, because you go on social media and there's so many people complaining about wrestling. But like you said, there's so much wrestling out there that if you're sick of one kind of wrestling, go on Fight TV, go on PowerSlam. There'll be a company that will provide the wrestling that you're interested in. Right. And I've never understood that kind of mindset of people who want to sit there and bash like the likes of WWE or the likes of AEW and kind of put themselves through something that they're not enjoying, when you can go and watch a promotion that you will enjoy, and they're more than happy to provide that service for you. It's weird as wrestling fans now. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. There's an amazing community that we've built, but there's also that kind of toxic side that kind of wants to shit on everything, if you know what I mean.
Of course, there's so much out there. I personally, my personality, I just don't like doing it. You know, I just, like I said, I got tired of WWE. So I stopped. I don't have the network anymore. I've gone to viewing parties to go hang out with my friends. I went to, what was it, the Elimination Chamber a couple weeks ago. And it was at Buffalo Wild Wings, a chain. And I really just went to go hang out with my friends. And there was a whole bunch of wrestlers from an independent promotion out here in New York, BWF. And, you know, it was on in the background, but I wasn't even paying attention. I went just to go hang out. But, like, I'm like, and I'm like, I look up every once in a while at the TV. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just like, what's going on? But like I said, you know, like I went to go hang out with everybody. I was like, this is fun. But, you know, I mean, like, again, I don't like trashing stuff I don't like. If I don't like it, I don't watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of the best attitude to have. So you're known as the queen of the indies, and you are very, very passionate about indie wrestling. What was the first time that you went to an indie show, and how did you kind of like get into that indie wrestling scene, especially coming from someone who was strictly a mainstream WWE fan?
It's so funny because a lot of people didn't realize like how much of a fan of WWE or WWF I was until like they start having me on podcasts. But, you know, it's funny. I should probably talk about this on Indie Talks about how I got into the independent world. It's funny because 6 years ago, one of my best friends, I love him to death, Jimmy, shout out to you. He is a referee to a bunch of promotions out here in Long Island. And he worked for this company called SWA. And he was telling me, because like when I started getting back into wrestling or whatever, he was telling me, because I was dating one of his friends. We were talking one day and he's like, come. And I was like, oh, I was like, you ref? He's like, yeah. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And then I said to, you know, my boyfriend at the time, and I was like, we should go support him. He's like, oh, but he just refs. I'm like, I don't care. I was like, let's go support our friend. I was like, it's something to do. I was like, what are we going to do on a Saturday night? I was like, let's go watch our friend. So this is kind of the start of my independent flying. And every time that he would like referee, I would go. And this was the start of watching independent wrestling for me, and this is how I found, you know, I love that, like, Anthony Gangone, right? Like, I'm always gonna put him over. It doesn't matter. I don't care who's pot. I'm always gonna put him over. But I mean, I'm gonna put over other people too. But Anthony Gangone, like, he did not know of me 6 years ago. I was always the one that was in the seats cheering for people, right? But I never had the guts to approach these wrestlers. I just never did. Now, obviously, this is way before I started podcasting. So now it's very different of how I am now to where I was 6 years ago. So I told, when I asked Gangone to come on, and he was my first interview for Independent, he didn't know that I knew him for 6 years. I only started talking to him last year. And even when we finished our podcast, I said to him, I was like, you know, I was like, I've been a fan of you for like, well, now it's 6 years because the year rolled over. So I was like, you know, I've been a fan of you for 5 years, right? He's like, really? I was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry I never came up to you before. I was like, but this was kind of the start of me supporting independent wrestling. And House of Glory was another promotion that they would have wrestlers come do meet and greets from back then. From like WWF days. So I've met Scott Hall and Kevin Nash at House of Glory. So these were like little things that kind of pulled me in the independent world. And then I have my best friend, Brad, who he's really like the independent, he's the indie king. Like, forget it. Like, if there's a new promotion or some promotion all over the world or whatever, he knows about it. And he can tell me XYZ about this wrestler. So a lot of times, like, I'm fortunate because I follow a lot in Tri-State that I travel for to see up close and personal, where Brad does a lot of like Fight TV or IWTV on like Facebook, and like he follows a lot of wrestlers. He's friends with a lot of wrestlers, so he can educate me. So it's nice because he'll follow a lot on the West Coast in the States, where I follow a lot in the East Coast, but I physically go. Brad doesn't physically go all the time, but he go to IC together. We're like, we've gone to a bunch of promotions together. But this was really like the start of my love for the independent scene. And I'm so passionate about it. Unbelievably passionate about it.
Yeah, you definitely are. What is it about the independent scene that you love so much? What stands out about it over the likes of a mainstream show like WWE?
It's so personal, I feel like, right? Now, I've talked about how you can enjoy wrestling depending of what you like, right? So again, I I was going week to week to week to a million promotions. Like, I would go, I would stay like in Jersey Friday, Saturday, come home Sunday to see promotions. Like, I was doing, I'm doing things like that because my love for it. So I just love like how personal and intimate it is, because you could go to promotion, maybe there's 50 people. You go to another promotion, maybe there's 200 people or something. But it's really, each promotion has its different peaks. And with me, I follow a lot of, like, Gangon, right, is the one that I follow, right? I started with him, which has brought me to amazing promotions that has made amazing friendships with promoters and wrestlers. And he will never take the credit of it because he's humble as hell and I don't care what the hell he says, but it started with him since last year. Because if I didn't follow him because I enjoyed him so much in the ring, then I would never be where I am right now, I feel like, as even a podcaster. Because the relationships that I have made is amazing. And it's because of him. Because of the fact that I didn't even know all these promotions exist. I was an ICW girl. I was a House of Glory girl. And even like the SWA. But now, like, I'm going Jersey bound. I went to Pennsylvania to see Excellence, and it's just amazing. And then the cool thing, what I love about independent wrestling as well, is the wrestlers, like, you can tell sometimes, like, when they're having a good time. You know, like, I've gone to, like, kiddie promotions, like, you know, no cursing, you know, no light tubes, no chairs, things like that. Like, it's more kid friendly. And you can see the wrestlers having a ball. Like, shout out to Smiley, because he loves the kids. The kids will get in the ring and he lets them pin him and jump off the top of the ropes on him. Like, it's like the cutest things. These are the little things that kind of like warms my heart. They'll sit, they'll do conga lines around the ring. Like, they're having a good time. And if they're having a good time, the fans are having a good time. You know, so these are the little things that I absolutely adore. I mean, I went with Queen to GCW, which was my first live GCW show, because I watched a little bit, and me and Queen got to go. And I mean, me and Queen were a little sad. We didn't get any light tubes, because I love light tubes. I love when people smacking people with light tubes. I don't know why. It makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh.
I love it. You see, like, all the, you know, it breaks and poof, you see all the dust come out. But I don't know, it's something about it, but it's just different style of wrestling. You see fast pace. You know, there really is gems. And I love, even like I said, like I've made a lot of great friendships with a lot of the wrestlers, and you see when they're humble and you see when they appreciate you as a fan. And a lot of these wrestlers, like, I'm like family to them now, which is crazy to me. Like, a lot of them, like, pulled me into their circles, which is absolutely, like, I can't put it into words what it means to me. It means so, it's so special to my heart. But again, like, I really root for all these guys. And, you know, I joke and I say I'm selfish and I don't want them to get signed, because I love following a lot. They're entertaining. You know, they'll heckle me and, you know, like, they'll play around or they'll spill water. Or, like, I mean, I had Chris Steeler sit on me the other day when he lost his match. You know, like, these are the little things, like, you know, like, I'm part of them and, you know, they appreciate me. And these are the little things that I love. And, you know, like, you can't get that intimateness with them. You know, in big, like, WWE or AEW, even though, like, AEW, they appreciate their fans, and you know it. And even when you do meet and greets with them, like, you know, they take, like, Matt and Nick Jackson, they take the time. You know, I've had that personal interaction with Matt and Nick Jackson. That means everything to me. And and that's the thing. Like, you have to stay humble. It's so important, because you can't let it get to your head. Oh, I'm making all this money and screw my fans or whatever like that. Yeah, but, you know, it's also, if it wasn't for us, you know, you wouldn't be here. Like, so these are the little things that I love about independent wrestling.
Yeah. For me, it's there's not a form of entertainment that's quite like going to a wrestling show when you've got a few hundred people basically chanting along the same, but all wanting the same result, all kind of like being shocked and surprised at what's happening in the ring. Yeah, it's just amazing to be a part of, and it's almost like you said, you're part of a clique, or you're part of a family that is enjoying this kind of like special show that you'll never be able to see again, because each wrestling event is unique.
Right.
So you mentioned about AEW, and obviously you have a podcast about AEW. What is it about AEW that really kind of captivated you? I know that there's they get a lot of grief for being kind of like taking WWE cast-offs, but for me, I think that it's almost like a super indie show with the amount of like kind of more unknown, hungry talent. What is it about AEW that really draw you in?
It's funny because you're right. It's like a glorified independent show, right? Like that's what it feels like. And like I talked about that, a lot of the guys that are signed to AEW, I followed in the indie scene. So it plays such a special place in my heart with that as well. You know, it's funny because before I was doing the Ollie podcast, I did have my own podcast called That Ass Podcast, which was a dating podcast. So I used to do that. And Kyle, who used to come on That Ass Podcast a lot, he used to co-host a lot with me. And me and Kyle always had great chemistry working together. I love him to death. And we, you know, he used to do NXT reviews. So as things were going, I actually said one day when AEW came about on New Year's Day, right, I remember like sitting at my friend's house because I stayed over at a friend's house, and I was like, this is going to be huge. Something told me, because I was watching Being the Elite, and I'm like, something's telling me that this is going to be very big in wrestling. It's gonna change the world, right? That's what they were saying. It's going to change the world, right? And I was like, you know what? Like, I love working with Kyle. So I approached Kyle and I was like, Kyle, I was like, I mean, I don't, you know, like Kyle probably wasn't following as much as I was, you know, with a lot of these guys in Ring of Honor and New Japan, you know, as much as I was. And I was like, I'm telling you, this is going to be something huge. I was like, I think you and me need to jump on this wagon. I was like, we work very well together. And I was like, I really see something of this, that you and I can do something with this together, because That Ass Podcast was kind of dying out because my original co-host, he got promoted at work, so he couldn't really do That Ass Podcast with me anymore. So I wasn't doing as much streaming, but I missed it. So this kind of still gave me the opportunity to still be a podcaster with someone that I cared about. So here we are now. Like it's crazy. So I'm glad that, you know, I get to sit and talk AEW with a friend. So it's good stuff, and I'm so excited, and I'm still excited. It still excites me. Look forward to tonight. I'm ready. Let's go. Turn on AEW Dynamite. Let's go.
Yeah, and the podcast has absolutely gone from strength to strength, and you and Kyle have a great chemistry. And like I said, it's my go-to AEW podcast where, I just love the interaction that you guys have. But you kind of like started to branch out on your own with Under the Ropes. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Under the Ropes kind of came about because we go back to, I think it was episode 26. I was fortunate enough to get Brandon Cutler to come onto All Elite Podcast. And me and Kyle, it was the most funniest thing because I couldn't believe that I got Brandon Cutler to come onto the podcast. And I was freaking out. I was like, I got Brandon Cutler to come on the podcast. I'm like, this is crazy. So we really loved how that turned out. And it was just so funny because people were messaging me saying, would you consider interviewing other wrestlers even outside of AEW? And I was like, no, because we're running the Ollie podcast. I was like, you can't interview other people outside of the Ollie podcast. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And then I started thinking about it. And as weeks went by, and then I actually said to my friend, I'm like, you know what? I was like, I could probably do this. I was like, you know, I go to a lot of independent guys. I was like, I'm going to start reaching out to wrestlers. And again, like I said, I reached out to Gangone, and he was my first one. And he said, yeah. So I've been going down this lane of Under the Ropes, and I love it because, you know, a lot of times I know a lot of these wrestlers, but I don't know the backstory with these wrestlers. And even though, like, I may ask like same questions over and over again, every wrestler has a different story. And I mean, I just had Tony Deppen on the other day, and there was things I did not even know about Tony Deppen that it was just so insane to me. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. So I not only you know, I'm making it aware for the fans, I'm sitting here like, oh, I'm fangirling right now because now I'm getting the backstory of all these wrestlers, and it makes me appreciate them more than I already do. So I really love it. And I think even with the tag team wrestlers, I've had that fun. It's like my little pleasure that I get out of it when I ask a question and they stump each other and they're like, I didn't know that about you. Oh, yeah? Really? I love it. It's like a little personal gain for me. It's like the little wins that I'm like, oh, I was like, he didn't know. That's awesome. But that's like my joy. I love it. I love knowing the backstories. And of course, I hope all these guys, like, you know, they get signed somewhere one day. So it's, yeah, it's definitely an experience for me with Under the Ropes. It's been a good time.
It's an absolutely outstanding podcast. I'm really being over here in Britain, we kind of we don't see a lot of these independent wrestlers, and it's good to have like sources like Under the Ropes where we can kind of get to know these guys and become fans of them ourselves.
Yeah, it's cool. I know a lot of people said that to me. They were like, you know, there's not a lot of people that kind of showcase independent guys. So I'm loving it. I just, even like the women, it's crazy. Like, you know, you wouldn't think, I think one of the cool stories that I got out of the two females that I've had on the podcast, Valentina and Casey Cattell, that even like Valentina said, like you go to like these schools and, you know, you're not really having separate, right? Like you're not having the guys train with the guys and the women train with the women. No, they're together. Cause most of the time, maybe there's only one woman, you know, one woman in the class, and then you have like five guys. At the end of the day, you're still learning the same moves, whether you're a guy or a girl. And it's pretty interesting to hear that story. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And a lot of times, like maybe the guys are a little worried about it because you're a female and you think logically like, oh, a guy's going to hurt a girl. But I've heard even stories that the guys are more safer than the women wrestling the women wrestlers. See, like that I thought was very fascinating. I was like, wow, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So it really makes you sit and think about the backstories.
Yeah, and it's kind of like almost a window into behind the scenes of wrestling. We obviously as fans see the end product, but we don't tend to see what's gone into getting to where that product can be shown. So yeah, it's interesting to get that kind of view.
It's you're 100% right. Right now, like a lot of people, like I like to say I'm not in the business. Right. But a lot of the wrestlers, they're like, Tiff, you're in the business. It doesn't matter what you say, what you think, you're in the business. You're a podcaster. You're hanging out with wrestlers. I'm hanging out before and after the show. All right. I've been able to witness putting up the ring, all this stuff that goes on before and after, you know, like, cause as a fan, right? Like you go to the show, whatever, you see them wrestle, you leave. Right. You don't really real. I think because of the way that I've got involved doing what I've been doing and having access and talking to a lot of these wrestlers and stuff like that, my mind has changed so much. Now, I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, some people say it's bad. Some people, you know, say it's good. Right. But I really can understand why. With a lot of things now that maybe a casual fan wouldn't understand. And like business side, like, oh, okay, they did this because it makes sense, you know? But maybe the casual fan wouldn't think that. Like, let's say somebody winning a belt, right? And it's like, it makes the fan happy, right? But then when you start breaking down, like the way that I do, like when I start breaking down, like, why did they give him the belt? Oh, okay, that makes more sense now because that's gonna bring the fans. Like, you start breaking it down much deeper. You know, than a normal fan. So I think that's what's kind of changed me a lot in the wrestling world, being so deep in the independence, you know, scene that now I can understand the bigger picture for stuff like AEW and WWE now. So it really is very, very interesting that you just don't think about these things unless you're in it.
Yeah, you kind of get like an appreciation.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's definitely the word for it because I definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. This has been amazing chatting with you, Tiffany. I've really, really enjoyed it. Before we go, I've got a couple more last questions for you. First of all, what does podcasting mean to you? Like you said, you it kind of gives you like this this kind of reach into the business. But what does it mean personally to Tiffany to be able to podcast?
So the best thing that I can say, and this is what I say, I do not make money off of my podcasting at all. And like stuff like shirts and stuff that me and Kyle have made for the Oli podcast, we donate to charities because that plays a very special part to me and Kyle, right? That we want to help charities as well. Right. But I think the best thing, okay, that I have with podcasting is this is a hobby for me. This isn't a job. Some people it's like a job, right? This is a hobby and I love it. I absolutely love it. I feel like, and this is one of the things I like about Kyle, is I feel like I'm hanging out with one of my friends. Like we're sitting in our living, in my living room, having a chat, right? This is how I kind of feel about it. And it's just fun that I could sit there and have conversation with people and talk about the things that I love. And that's the experience that I get out of podcasting, that I get to talk with my friend and talk with a fan base and have conversations with the fans out there about what they love. We could sit there and have an hour conversation doing the Oli podcast and talk about something about Private Party or anything AEW related, or even when I do my indie talks or my Under the Ropes. Like I get to sit there and talk about my joy and that I get to learn more about some of my favorite wrestlers. So that is definitely one of the best perks that I get out of being a podcaster.
Absolutely. And the last thing I want to ask you is, what is the end goal of your podcasting? What is, if you could have everything that you wanted from podcasting, what would be kind of like the ultimate peak of Oli and the podcast that you do?
I don't know. You know, that's the one thing. There is no goal. I just take day by day. That's it. I mean, as long as I can make one person smile doing my podcast, that's enough for me. Something comes out. It's not like, again, I'm not looking to be in the business. I'm not trying to be a wrestler or anything like that. And you know, I got to be honest, I've had some really great opportunities. You know, I've been able to do commentary at a promotion. I've been able to post to do videos of promos with wrestlers and get involved in that. And that alone just is everything to me. I really don't want anything. This is just, I want to continue having fun. And if this, the minute that it's not fun anymore, that's when I'm going to stop podcasting, because that's not why I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly the same mentality I've got. I start to do podcasts like this because I love talking to over wrestling fans. I love to find out why they got into wrestling, and there's been so many amazing stories and so many different pathways people have got to get to this point where we're in this community of wrestling fans. And yeah, I think for me, the minute it starts to be a chore and the minute it starts to not be fun is when I'll call it a day. Yeah, this has been an amazing chat, Tiffany. I love you to death. You are so amazing. You're so bright and bubbly. Let the While We Watch listeners know where they can find you on social media, where they can find all of the content that you're involved in.
I'm somewhere on the tubes. No. The tubes. You can follow me on Twitter at LovesToDream82, LUVS2. Dream 82, and I'm on the No Holds Barred Network. It's on YouTube and all audio platforms. That's also on Twitter. You could do at No Holds Barred Network, also at the All Elite Pod. All Elite Pod on Twitter. So that's where you can find me. Come bother me. I love it.
Yeah, listeners, honestly, she's amazing. Just to chat wrestling with, not even if you're that into podcasts or anything like that. She's just got some great stories, and she's, like I said, she's so bright and upbeat about wrestling. Yeah, she can, it's infectious almost, that she makes you a happier wrestling fan.
Thank you.
Absolutely not a problem. So you can follow me on Twitter, guys, at DJ Kirby. You can follow this show at Where We Watch Pod. Another massive, massive thank you to Tiffany. She's been an absolute star for being on the show. I really do appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. And that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.